listening to The Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three relatively grown men binge the iconic HBO series Sex and the City. So dust off those DVDs and grab yourself a white wine or even a Cosmopolitan and settle in. Take it away, boys.
Welcome to the Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three guys rewatch Sex and the City with you. And just like that, I'm Corey Cavan.
I'm Kevin James Doyle.
My name is John Sieber. And we're back.
We're back.
And we're back.
Season 1, episode 11, doing the, back on the rewatch.
Back,
coming at you.
Back on the rewatch. Back here, almost done with season 1.
Coming fresh off of April Fool's Day. Let's talk about that. Kevin dropping the April Fool's Day prank. Seeing Heidi Klum also dropped the April
Heidi
Fool's
Klum
Day
dropped
prank.
One too. Definitely.
Yeah,
big one.
And I'm sure Heidi Klum didn't get the amount of anger and hate that was directed towards us. Apparently, just if you're a tall, attractive supermodel, everyone thinks it's cute if you say you're part of Sex and the City. And if you're the Bradshaw Boys trolling everyone to think Kim Cattrall actually agreed to do the TV show, apparently you want us to die.
Dude, my favorite, Kevin, you read me this response that someone gave. I got to find it. And you had like the best analogy to what it was like. Give me a second. It's so good.
So I posted, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of a thing called Photoshop, but I went to Hollywood Reporter and I said, Kim is in. Cattrall agrees to do a new HBO Max series. And it was like pretty even. It was even between people that were like, haha, April Fools, and other people that were just like, that was cruel and offensive. And we truly are angry, which I understand. April Fools, like, it has like, I don't know. There's a line that you can't cross with April Fools that could really break people's hearts.
Yeah.
And my one friend, I'm down in Nashville, our friend Zach. And there was one time he's in a band and he was about to board an airplane. And it was April Fools. And he just said, RIP, and posted a picture of his friend who like opens for their band.
What?
Yes. So and he said, like, when he landed, there was like hundreds of people that were like, I can't believe this guy's dead. And he was like, oh no, it's April Fool's. And I was like,
dude, what?
He was like, I couldn't believe people took it seriously. And I was like, dude, that's definitely
that was a
like,
little intense.
I think the differences between the two are like, if you talk about the Heidi Klum one of her being like, hello everyone, I'm the new Samantha, versus saying, hey everyone, just confirm Samantha's back in. It's kind of like, did you ever hear that Jack Handy deep thoughts on SNL, where it's the difference between being like, hey guys, like something crazy is going to happen today. And he has this one where his deep thought is, I just pulled it up. He says, one thing kids like is to be tricked. For instance, I was going to take my little nephew to Disneyland, but instead I drove him to an old burned down warehouse. Oh no, I said, Disneyland burned down. He cried and cried, but I think that deep down, he thought it was a pretty good joke. I started to drive over to the real Disneyland, but it was getting late. I think what you did is like, you did the version of telling everyone Disneyland burned down, whereas Heidi Klum was like, hey, wouldn't it be funny if this was Disneyland? I think that's what we did to our followers.
All right, here's someone's response. Wow, agree with the comments. Mean, cruel, rude, not funny, etc. Really poor judgment, not understanding how passionate SATC fans are about the characters and script. Unfortunately, the post is making me unfollow.
I love that.
I told John, I said, listen to the wording of this comment. It's exactly like Shark Tank. It's like, I was like, it's rude, it's offensive, doesn't understand the script or the followers of Sex and the City and the true fans. And for that reason, I'm out.
It's the exact same.
That's great.
Poor profit margins, bad staff, horrible idea, inefficient design. And for that reason, I'm out.
I know. It was such a bummer for Mark Cuban to unfollow us from our Instagram.
For real.
Dude, I hope that's Mark Cuban's Instagram account. Some random that's never posted with 69 like followers.
That's great. I wonder if any of those people actually listen to the podcast, though, or if they're just Instagram followers. Well, I think they need to lighten up a little bit.
I went over to Social Blade, which is how you can find out what your followers are doing, and we gained 25 followers yesterday. Ooh. So
there you go. Perfect.
So it totally worked. So you got to shed a few. Sometimes that's like trimming when you get a haircut because you have split ends, and then it grows even faster.
Well, yeah. I also commented on that post. I was like, if only our Instagram followers knew that was the tame prank that Kevin pulled on us. He pulled one that was way worse. That if you would have posted that screenshot, I think the podcast would have been over.
Well, we lost a number of followers when I just posted that Biden won on the Kerry dress, on the newspaper dress. Mm. I just posted the New York Times newspaper from the election, like just the fact. Yeah. There was like 10 people that they were like unfollow, and I was like, "Well, I like he's the president now. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you."
Yeah, totally. Like,
don't put politics into this.
I know. It was just like, but I always think it's great. I am a huge fan. I'm a huge fan of people doing truly whatever they'd like to do, and that means that if you were upset by that April Fool's joke, then I think it's really good. If that didn't bring you joy, then I release you into the wild. Like, you know, like it's like when it's like at the end of Free Willy, you know, Michael Jackson sang his song. The Native American man has like explained to everybody like what our modern culture has done. And then we take our followers out from the tank. We've driven them on the truck. And they've sprayed them with water so your blowhole doesn't die. And we just put our followers right in the ocean.
Hold me. And like then they the go out. Jordan.
And you know what happens? They go out into the wilderness. They go out into the Atlantic Ocean. And then they're about 2 miles out. And they're like, oh, shit, we don't know how to live outside captivity. And you die. Because you have no more joy.
Dude, we need to make a meme of you standing on a rock pile holding up a phone and just like some Instagram follower leaping over you. I release you. Oh, man. Dude, we could probably do that with Samantha. Like a meme with Samantha, like flopping over the Free Willy and just being like, I'm over it. She's not going to be in the show. I release my expectations.
That is kind of how Kim Cattrall is in not doing the show. There's like everyone that's like, they're just like going nuts. They're like, is she, will she or won't she? And she's just like in a hot tub, like with champagne being like, what? I'm on whatever that show is called. She's like living her life.
Dude, free Sammy. We need to make it a thing.
Free Sammy.
Kimmy. Free Sammy. Kimmy. Free Willie. Free Willie Garson.
Yeah, Free Willie Garson. I hope he's in it.
That's a great analogy, Kevin. Thank you for that.
What's the worst April Fool's prank anyone's ever played on y'all besides the ones that happened this year?
I mean, if you're comfortable sharing what the other one Kevin did, it got me very steamed.
Ooh, so, it gets you so steamed.
I did get John.
You got me too. You got me Jeremy. Too, but I had just gotten back in from a trip out of town, and I saw it. But I had so much going on to catch up back in life that I texted y'all and was like, I'm enjoying how much everyone's flipping out about this. But I did tell someone, I was like, yeah, Kevin did this thing. And then when I checked back in on my phone, like 6 hours later, it had all sussed itself out. So like you got me too. Because I think you and I have sort of talked about this thing in the past, like years ago.
Yeah, we've talked about it because I think she's talked about how she's a Sex and the City fan, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
But basically, I photoshopped a picture of, I'm trying to pull it up here. I photoshopped a picture. I pretended that I DM'd Tommy Lahren, the Fox News host, who it's like, listen, I think I would have on, there's some Fox News hosts I think I'd have on. I'd have on Shepard Smith. Shepard Smith, he was great, but he doesn't work for Fox anymore. I don't know who. Great, maybe Gretchen Carlson. I would have had on a few years ago. Tommy Lahren's like a pretty hot firebrand. If people know who she is, and I photoshopped some messages to her that I just sent to myself, to my friend's Instagram account. And I made it look like Tommy Lahren was going to do, wanted to do the podcast and said, "You're probably going to get canceled for this, but thank you for having me on. I'm a huge Sex and the City fan, and I'm excited that you boys are open to lifting up conservative voices on your comedy podcast." And it started a pretty hot debate on what kind of guests we would like to have on this show. John,
I got tuned up.
John got real tuned up.
Yeah, it was great.
Harlan read one of my responses and he's like, "This is how I knew you were really mad." Because at one point I was like, "Listen, I'm only one vote in this podcast. You know what my vote is, but if you override me, it is what it is."
And he's like, "I didn't." When stuff like that happens, like, I'm like, I try to think about like what the response will be, because I'm like simultaneously bad at typing stuff out and then like misspelling something or leaving a sentence out. And then I have to do the asterisks in a text and like redo my thing. So like I'm simultaneously bad at just messing up grammar. And then I'm also bad at saying a thing that later I realize like I didn't fully read things or like I can't take it back. But what happens in my mind is I just imagined, I was like, this is the beginning of it all falling apart. And I just let that happen in my mind. I was like, you know what? It's been a good run and we're all getting older. At some point this was going to wilt and die. So why not, instead of wilting and dying, why not set it all on fire? But it's all going away.
And Kevin just kept on responding with, "Well, she has 1.9 million followers." And I was like, "We're going to lose all our current followers." He's like, "We'll rebuild it."
John just went on John like made some like really good point about, made some like really good point, and I was like agree to disagree.
But did everything like in a very you way. Like we've been in debates about other things, so like you did a great job of your own voice. Like you've made the argument with other people to be like, this person has a ton of followers, and they've been like, "Yeah, I don't know if they're really like our thing," and you're like, "Yeah, but like whatever, that the reach makes sense." So like you did every argument you've done in the past with this one.
The thing
it was hard to tell.
You know what's really funny? This shows like how far gone our I read a book that talked about how like when politics becomes part of like every single thing in your life, like it you know, steals like some of your joy basically, because you can't use your imagination anymore. And it's so funny how Charlotte is like a Republican in this, technically. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't really talk about it, but like she is. And it's funny how much that would upset. That's what wouldn't be fun about someone like that, that like they turn your whole job. That's why I think it'd be miserable to be a news person. It's like then your job is to literally only think about that all the time. Mm. You wouldn't be able to just talk about a story. It would just be like, this is why blah, 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 blah. Like those people are just annoying. But I'm trying to I want to know if anybody I would love to know, since we're talking about this on the podcast, who would be appalled and who would be okay with us having Tommy Lahren on.
Yeah,
we're not going to, no matter what.
Yeah, but
on principle, we're not going to. I just want to know. I want to know what people would feel like if their feed just popped up and it said the Bradshaw Boys featuring Tommy Lahren.
Do this. Send us a DM on Instagram of. We will not screenshot and publish these. So we will like, we're going to protect your anonymity, but send us your actual answer. If you would have been appalled, or if you would have been like, I think that she might've had an interesting thing to say, just send us your actual answer.
I'm
no
very
judgment.
Curious.
And then send us the person that would make you be like, I'm out. Send us the person you'd be like, you guys
we'll
had
try
this
to
person
get them on.
I'm out. And then we'll try to get them on. But really send us. Send us your limit for how far we can go on the Bradshaw
Kevin, who's
Boys.
Your limit? Like Ghislaine Maxwell? Like having her on the pod? Would that?
For some reason, this is what is weird. You have to like think about. For some reason, I would be okay having Ghislaine Maxwell on, but I wouldn't be okay having Candace Owens on. You know what I mean?
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
My limit is Coney. Coney 2012. Coney. If we have Coney,
Coney 2012,
we gotta get Coney 2012.
And it's not because I'm like, we can't do that. I just be like, I don't know what else we can do. We had that guy. We had on a murderous general who was like, well, okay, season 3, episode 10 is actually one of my favorite episodes. It's just like a murderous general from an African country that is just a horrible person who's like, you want to weigh in on a podcast?
Yeah, shout out to Coney.
Can go.
Shout out.
I actually relate to Mr. Big quite a bit.
he's ruthless in business. I've burned villages. And he'd be like, we can't go anywhere else.
Hey, everybody, this next episode, we're really excited to have him on. It's the first podcast he's ever done. He's known for being the head of a child army. Ladies and gentlemen, Joseph Kony.
There's a Ugandan insurgent, Joseph Kony.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man.
Where can we follow Army. You on social media? Do you want to play? Got anything cool going on right now?
Oh man.
Oh my god.
I thought you were talking about the Coney 2012 guy that from like Long Beach that was running around naked on bath salts.
The Invisible Children guy, the guy that like went crazy from that guy? The guy that
Coney 2012.
That's the guy that went nuts from that.
I don't know if any
I'd
of you
have him on the pod.
We could probably get in touch with him.
Yeah, let's have him on.
I think we can get in touch with him.
I think we should. I think when next time we have like a big guest like Kyle MacLachlan or Kristen Davis, we should just run that by him. Just be like, yeah, it was really. Just see what they think. Just be like, I have a question. Do you think we should have?
All right, we need to watch the episode. All right. We're checking out. Season 1, episode 11, The Drought.
The Drought.
And we're going to have Katie hop on and give us a recap if y'all didn't watch the show. And we will see you. Yes?
Check out our Patreon episode. We watch the Even episodes. The latest guest we had was Henry Kissinger. It was a really interesting conversation about the geopolitical landscape of the 1980s and how it affects today, and also what it's like to not come for over a month. So
what?
The Drought.
Oh, I'm the Drought. Sorry. I was like Henry Kissinger held off his sexual drive for months.
he's like, when I'm trying to start a foreign intervention, I don't masturbate.
Okay. All right. We'll see you after we watch the episode.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
All right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Take it away, Katie.
Episode 11, The Drought. Carrie's relationship with Mr. Big has been going on for long enough that it is becoming less physical, especially after she farts in bed. Charlotte is dating a man who isn't interested in sex anymore, thanks to the side effects of Prozac. Samantha discovers that not having sex can be erotic, And Miranda realizes she hasn't had sex for months. And now, back to the boys.
Welcome right. back. The drought.
Woo! I'm telling you what.
I'm parched.
I think this episode carries on new resonance based on the past year, right? I bet this is like when true droughts happened. Worldwide sexual droughts.
From
2020. Oh, 2020 yeah. COVID drought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it probably has to be like the, I imagine 2020 is like probably globally the least sexually active year since the last major war.
I don't know. I kind of disagree because I think it also put a lot of couples at home together more than they ever have been. And if you're in a coupling relationship, you're even just out of boredom, you're probably banging it out.
I think they said married couples sex went down in quarantine.
Yeah, I mean, I think that?
Just some people I talked to.
Just
I'm
them.
Kidding. It was a study. No, there was a study because I think the article that I read was about how like getting away and having things to do like connect you sexually to your partner too.
And
like,
nothing is sexier than being in crippling fear that your parents are going to die of a disease too.
That's what gets me.
That's my kink actually.
Yeah.
I can't.
Don't kink shame me.
I can't get off unless I'm afraid that if I cough on my dad, he'll die.
Oh my God.
I can't wait till April Fool's next year when I hit you with that one. I'm like, hey man, I was traveling through Ohio. Bad news.
All right, let's take a look. Let's take a look at. Sexual activity.
I had a friend. Yeah. While you looked it up, I have a friend that I grew up with that him and his friend started a really interesting, good thing. Like, I think in like 2018, like when just election and political news was like super high. And he was like, anytime any one of them cited a fact, they would have to cite where they read it.
That's pretty smart.
And it was actually really good because I've thought about it ever since I talked to him, where I'm always like, I read this article and I have to be like, oh, where did I read it? I read it? It's actually really good because it kind of makes you think about like not only what you read, but how much stuff you just throw around. Or if you're like, oh yeah, I read that on jamfederationnews.org. And it's like, what's that? I don't know. I just Googled it. I don't know what it is.
That's quarantine, so good.
Well, this is from, there's two things. One, let's read the Daily Tar Heel first because Corey is a UNC graduate.
I am a UNC graduate, yeah.
So, this is just a column. Savannah Bradley, let's get her on the pod. She's a junior. Okay.
Great.
2020 has a lot of things, but it was not the year of sex, despite being in a long-term relationship. This is just about her. Savannah, shut up. Okay.
Savannah Bradley. What's her name?
Savannah Bradley.
She's the Tar Heels version of Carrie Bradshaw.
Is she? Yeah.
That's kind of true. Like
you don't tell her to shut up. That's okay, an elevator. Let's get her on the pod.
What's the name of the article you're reading? Because I'm reading a very different
She's just trying to do her. I couldn't help but wonder. And you're telling her to shut up. She's even got like a great Carrie Bradshaw name, Samantha Bradley. Bradley.
Let me go big world and then we'll zoom back in. Maybe we'll. So this is from Glamour, Tanya Edwards. This is March, so this is a few days ago. We've heard a lot about how single people are faring during the pandemic. A year of sexual solitude at worst and socially distant awkwardness at best, but it's not like those relationships are living it up in the bed either. Your married friends aren't having quarantine sex either. So they said that the past year has gone down for married couples and sex too.
Interesting.
Which is interesting.
That is interesting.
And then the other one is, I guess it's just her column. Oh, wow. Okay, maybe we will use this. Wow. I'm going to look up Savannah Bradley.
Look up Savannah
Bradley.
Let's
get her on the pod.
The biggest news coming out of UNC these days is not about whether or not people are having sex or not. It's that our basketball coach, Roy Williams, is leaving. But that's for the other Bradshaw Boys Sports
podcast. That's for a Steve talk of another day.
Steve talk. Yeah, exactly. Wait, but before we get to the episode, though, do you think, I don't know, I'm sure there's a fact or figure with this somewhere, but I wonder if more people, at least just by our friends, I think more people got pregnant, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's only one time having sex, if you got that one shot, that J&J sex life.
But If your friend is pregnant, the chances are it doesn't mean necessarily that it's an increased amount of sex. It probably means that the sex has become a lot more strategic.
Yeah, that's that probably
like,
true.
That there's actually graphs, charts, and sometimes thermometers involved with the sex.
And not the forehead kind, all right? Yeah. Not those kind of thermometers. No, that you're right. That's true. It probably means that you had a more focused time during the pandemic of saying like, all right, this has caused us to think, what do we want our lives to look like after this?
That's probably true.
And we're not just like having a couple bottles of wine, doing some sexy times together.
Right. You know? Dude, Kevin is just ass deep in Savannah Bradley right now. Look at him. I've never seen him focus so hard.
Oh my gosh. Amazing. What I hope that comes out of this though, is that like it spikes all of her articles and they're like, Savannah, your articles are doing amazing right now. And she gets like, she gets to the top of her class in journalism from my, my school. When I was a journalism major at UNC.
You were a journalism major?
Well, I was. And then I switched to be a film major with a religion minor. But as I was doing the switch, I went to our career studies place and the guy was like, oof, okay. I just got to let you know that you are leaving a major with not a lot of jobs to go to a major with even less jobs. and then literally like a year after I left, someone gave the journalism school like a giant grant and they were it was a way nicer school than what I moved to.
Oh, that's so funny.
That guy was not only not wrong, but not only correct, but more correct than he thought.
I had a very similar conversation with my philosophy department head. He's like, not a lot going on with philosophy. Are you sure you want to do this? You're leaving a business major.
Exactly.
So I want to first ask you two, have you ever had very obvious neighbors that have engaged in sexual activity that you could either like see or view or watch? Because I feel like this is an ongoing joke. Katie was watching Friends and same thing. They have like that window there's like, if there's a New York comedy, I'm not sure if Seinfeld ever did an episode about that, but like the joke is you at some point will see one of your neighbors engaging in sexual activity. And so have you guys ever had that experience? And if so, was it something that you were shy to look at? Were you like bringing friends over to watch it? What happened?
It's a great question because I've seen it at work. I used to work in Times Square across from the big Marriott hotel there. And on my
shout out to Marriott, one of our best sponsors.
Shout out to Marriott. Thank you for the sponsors. Use the hotel code. use the coupon code.
Peeping Tom Corey.
Peeping Tom Corey on two queen beds
to get a complimentary upgrade to your breakfast buffet.
Free coffee. In my third day at that job, I was like in a meeting with people and their backs were to the window. And I was just looking out the window, watching two people just raw dogging it to the max. and the funny thing was like the way the hotel curtain was, it cut both of their heads off. So it was just two bodies just like going at it. But in terms of apartments, I don't think I ever have, but I did see something one time where my apartment, an apartment that I lived in that both of y'all had seen, it looked back. I mean, like most New York apartments, it looked back towards pretty obviously towards like some other windows. And I would always see this one couple. And I was like, huh, I wonder what their deal is. And then later I ended up, it was a bunch of roommates in one apartment. I thought it was a couple, but I was just seeing the roommates. And then later I ended up meeting one of the people in that apartment on an internet date.
Whoa.
So like, I was like, wait, where do you live? And then we went through and it was like, she lived in that building.
So have you said you looked into her apartment before?
Before the internet date?
Yeah.
Yeah. Completely.
And seen her. Like, did you like recognize her or had you just like seen her roommates and stuff?
I didn't recognize her, but I put
that
the
would
pieces
be super
together.
Creepy.
Yeah, I didn't.
Could you imagine?
That would be some real creepy rear window stuff. No, I didn't. I didn't recognize her, but we put the pieces together and I was like, oh, I've probably seen you before in these people that I just thought was like a married couple or like a family or whatever. That's very weird. Yeah.
When I lived in Times Square, we had there was a guy that was like who lived across the street from us. And I imagine he was like what Mr. Big was when Mr. Big was like 4 years past college, like black silk sheets and just like dark colored paints everywhere. And the dude would go through like a 30-year-old virgin type ritual before he masturbated every time. And like we would like see him preparing his ritual. He would like put stuff up and like turn on lights and light candles. And we would just all go up to the roof and watch him and thought it was the funniest thing in the world. And then
that's great.
If there was like enough of us there, we would like just fuck with him. We'd like send him food, like order him, go ring his buzzer. Gosh. And just like, I mean,
wow.
I want to apologize to the poor guy. We were not super kind. We didn't do it often, but you know.
I mean, if he's leaving the window open though, he wants people to see, right?
Wide open, like very yeah. obvious. Like, and he would do it right by the window. So this guy, this guy was definitely probably doing the same thing on chat roulette. And like, he was probably setting up his chat roulette camera is that what he was getting all set up. But
wow,
it was fun.
Well, I guess there's the involuntary drought or the showing offness, but I guess this, rather than it just being a drought, it's kind of all about the frequency with which people have sex and why. And for Carrie, she's like, oh, is it this thing? Does he not want me for this reason? Because of the fart. With Charlotte, it's like she thinks it's out of respect, and really it's just because he's on pharmaceutical drug that is like depressing his sexuality. And then for Miranda, she's the only one who's on like this, oh man, I need it. Yeah. But it is pretty interesting that in Carrie's column, it's sort of like everyone except for, I don't know, it's making it out like everybody. That's probably a common misnomer, that it's like everybody's having the best time having sex with everyone except for me.
Right.
You know, which, you know, I feel like
that's how she even starts the show. There's 1.3 million single men, 1.8 million single women, and everyone is existing in the city to try to have sex as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone's dunking as hard as possible.
Yeah.
Capote D.
And I don't know. I don't know who we focused on the first time the most. The most interesting to me, I mean, it's pretty interesting, the Charlotte Kevin one, because if I was Kevin, I'd just get off those pharmaceuticals. No, but it's like, it's probably a really common thing for people to have to choose between antidepressants and like, that's kind of, I mean, Prozac was pretty big in the 90s, 2000s for people to talk about. But I mean, now antidepressants are like more.
But furthermore, is they have the antidepressants, which suppress the sex drive, but now they have pills that like re-up it. Isn't that like what, like Blue Chew and like some of those other things would use to counter? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean,
you suppress sex drive.
Yeah. And Cialis and, Cialis and Viagra were like pretty legendary.
Yeah.
And when Viagra first came out, it was like a game changer.
Yeah.
So yeah, I wonder,
what's really interesting is like this trope that I'm thinking about it, because I know there's a really famous Seinfeld episode too, where like what happens to people when you adjust the sex lever. It's like, I know the Seinfeld episode is like they stop having sex and like George becomes really, really smart, right? And like Elaine becomes really, really stupid without it. Isn't that like the joke? And I think like it's something like, it's interesting to like explore this concept of like what happens to a person when they go through a drought, how does it change them?
Right.
And like, what is the appropriate amount of time to have sex in a relationship? Cause I think everyone's response is a little bit different. You know, Samantha is like, it's a barometer for a healthy relationship. Which I thought was super interesting. I think with the first time around, we probably focused on the fart more than anything.
I think we probably did focus a lot on that. it's pretty funny. Like,
because if you fart in front of us, you're out of here.
You're down. You don't exist.
If you fart in front of us, laser focus is going to that fart, and that's it. Forget it. I don't even care if it's an April Fool's Day joke. That's it. You're out. Yeah. I mean, It's interesting too to think about like the drought, like someone's drought. If someone is like not having a ton of intercourse, and then it ramps it up, because I think this presupposes, because it's the show Sex and the City, it presupposes like it's always a pretty regular part of all of their lives. Mm-hmm. So the drought is what makes it weird for them. But if there's someone who isn't usually having a lot of sex and then they get into a relationship or get married or something like that, it's like, it would be interesting to see how it changes that person too. Does that make sense? Like if someone just adds it to their life versus like having a gap, you know? I mean, that would be like if the yoga guy ended up ending his thing, it'd be interesting to see how it changed him. You could call that a really long drought, but it sounds like, I think he's had 3 years without it or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a weird, that one's a weird thing, because it's like, I mean, I guess it'd be interesting, like, is he talking about, like, what if he's in a relationship? He still doesn't do it?
I don't think so. I don't think he does. Rivers Cuomo from Weezer was like that. Rivers Cuomo just like completely gave up sex for like a long time and was celibate until he married his wife. Even when they were dating, he was just like, I'm completely not doing this until I get married.
Hmm. Yeah.
And he got like very monkish after like the second Weezer album or something like that.
Hmm. Did he make his own Trapper like beer?
I think so. Yeah. He made Trappist ale. He would wake up, he would do Stations of the Cross. And,
I mean, he also five times a day. on the second album, he has a song called I'm Tired of Sex. So yeah,
exactly.
Wait, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's the first song. I was tired of sex.
So I think, that's a good proactive move to recondition your, it's funny. None of the stories involved having a particularly healthy abstinent. Like none of them had the thought of just like, oh yeah, like it was all pro.
Yeah,
you should be having it, which I find interesting, because I do think that sometimes people, I mean, watching the show is really interesting because there's two like things that have been happening the past few years. One is like the not the past few years, but like the massive acceptance, like since the 60s, of like free of sex being not so connected to like a moral stricture of like pro or not. And I think of sex as like a really powerful force, you know, which it is. And once it's disconnect, like an orb or something, and then once it's not connected to certain things, it's not just like whatever. It's not just like Samantha's zone. Mm-hmm. It's like when you think about, look at like the massive amounts of pain and destruction that have been unfolding the past few years, like basically the beginning of Me Too, and explaining like all of that is connected to sexual desire that is misplaced in a way that it's not free. And it's not, I don't necessarily see it just as, at first it was like, look at these two or three monsters, Jeffrey Epstein and Harvey Weinstein and like a few other of these. But it's like, I think sometimes a show like this or an episode like this doesn't totally properly put in its place that it's like, it's not just a thing that you need. It's a thing that creates life and can like destroy people emotionally.
Yeah.
And I know that's not what the point of the show is, but when you think about the guy who's like saying, I haven't done this for 3 years and it just like, it makes me so special and like, I can't handle it. I don't know. It's just like, it's not, I think we've just been learning. Like, it's not just like a silly little thing that you either have or you don't have. Like, it's a really it's one of the most powerful things in human life, you know,
totally.
Like two people connecting. Mm-hmm. And so it is funny for it to just be like, I farted, you don't like me. that, I don't know, when you, or looking at a study that it's like, what if the whole human race like stops having sex twice as much, like twice as little as they used to for the past thousands of years? That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it would be. Yeah, you would never get that. You like, if you were like, it's International Abstinence Day, like that would never happen. but
I wonder if there will be like a backlash to the sexual revolution of the 60s and when the 70s. I don't know.
I think that's what we've been having. I think that's like what has been going on the past few years.
Really?
One of them.
More of like an equilibrium, like sex pre-60s was like this one thing. Post-60s, it was like this complete free thing. And I wonder if it'll like settle, like you're saying, somewhere in the middle where they're like, it's a very powerful motivator. And like it needs to be respected as not just something that should like be floating around there, out there free to get, because like you said, it can cause a lot of pain when it's unchecked. It can ruin lives. It can do all these things. And so I think that, I mean, that's a really interesting observation there, that like that it's not kind of this 60s idea of free sex
at
all times. I don't know. That's super, super interesting. I wonder if they will, like, we've talked about this a little bit, but I wonder if they will address that in the new series at all. You know,
I wonder too, because there's more people. I don't know if I hesitate to say it's weird to look at data now for tons of things, because we just have more access to, everyone has more access to media. So like trends that you're seeing may just be that you're actually seeing them for the first time, because everyone has a cell phone now. But it seems like, and I'm sure there's a data for this somewhere, but that asexuality is a risen thing too. There's a lot of people that are like, I'm asexual, I don't have sex. Yeah. And it seems like that's a difference between 60s free love and that coming into the culture, where now there's people that are like, I'm out. I don't really like, I enjoy being around people, but I've realized that sex is not the only way to connect to intimacy.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, I'm not a physically sexual person, and I'm making the choice to not do that.
I wonder if the rise of the conversation of like, of consent is like one of those new things that was put in, because I think just the assumption that went along with the sexual revolution was like people want this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because we haven't been able to have it, and now we can have it. And there's these things. And now one of the main like ethics is like, if two people want to, then they can. And and that's why I think that is kind of like clearly the ethic that has been like the conversation, that it's like, you check in if the person's down, and if you're down, you guys handshake and you're down to do that together. And that does seem like sort of like a, I don't know, there's like a sketch that like made fun of it, that, or some people that are just like, what am I supposed to do before I even like tell, like, can I say I like you? Like, there's really dumbing down conversations of like every single time I'm supposed to check in. But that does seem like just the ethic that has risen up of being like, no, not everybody is 1000% down.
Right.
So now you check in with that. And that seems like a bit of a reaction to maybe the sexual revolution that didn't just happen in the 60s. It happened in the 60s, and then slowly over the next, it's like a giant tidal wave that kept on. You know, have you ever seen like the tsunami? You think it's like a 50-foot wave, and it's really just like a 2-foot wave that just destroys,
and then just slowly
40 miles into the island.
Exactly.
I feel like that's kind of what it was over the course of many years.
That's a really interesting analogy. Let's talk about Miranda a little bit. Miranda, the whole Blockbuster thing. Were you guys living in New York when there was a Blockbuster videos? Corey, were you here?
I think I was. I mean, when did Blockbuster go away? I remember there being weird Blockbuster like art pop up things when it was going away, and I moved here in 2005.
There's that documentary on Netflix called like The Last Blockbuster that everyone's kind of been talking about right now. Have you guys seen it?
Blockbuster closed. I haven't seen it. No, it closed in 2010. So
the Harbor
the
Harbor Fitness on 15th and 5th near my apartment was a Blockbuster. And after the first time that my ex Rachel broke up with me, I went over and rented Ghostbusters and smoked my first cigarette.
Really?
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's how my roommates were just like. They were like, hey, man, it's okay. And then we went outside and smoked a cigarette and just coughed really hard and laughed the whole time. And then we rented Ghostbusters. So that's what I remember about Blockbuster.
Wow.
Dude, that's fantastic.
Yeah. What about Miranda? So the Blockbuster thing. Blockbuster was here at that time in New York. It was here till 2010. I don't really remember where some were, but I remember them being. Well, the other thing about a very New York sidebar is the thing I remember when I moved here was Kim's Video. Do you remember Kim's Video?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which Kim's Video was like, there's been so many parodies of things of it made in movies, but it was the video store that was like run by East Village punks. They had, it was an amazing film store where they just have like, it's like Criterion Collection to the max. They have things you'd never get anywhere else. And it was run by people who were completely disinterested in helping you out.
That's so funny.
It's like the indie video store. And that was like a huge New York thing. But I know there's Blockbusters around.
I just feel like Blockbuster. So like what I love the most about New York City is the neighborhood vibes. I love like seeing people at like the bars and the coffee shops and the bodegas and the stores that like you like regularly see. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that just like the neighborhood Blockbuster was probably a really fun experience. Like I love local bookstores too. Like I love going into like a neighborhood bookstore and just walking around. And I think like a Blockbuster would have been like another vibe like that. Like where you like know the managers, you like probably see the same people in there. You're like checking out what other people are getting. I think it would just been like a really interesting like peek into other people's lives. Like, I don't know. I think that's like something that is missing from the like order your groceries online kind of world that we're living in now. It's like the neighborhood feel is diminishing, but that's for another pod.
That's for now. Yeah.
Wait. Well, I definitely think catcalling has catcalling. That was one of the joys of living in New York City. I'm just kidding. That's just like the construction worker, the whole construction worker catcall was like so classic. And then do you remember when, the girl like walked around in New York City the whole day?
Yeah. The viral video.
The viral video.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like, and then Michael Che, who's the head writer at SNL, he like made fun of it on his Twitter. And then that was an explosion. Like that was another thing that it was like, it was a funny, like little cutesy thing and not cutesy thing. Like it's always represented in TV as not just like, like it certainly wasn't represented there as like, this is vile sexual harassment.
It was more represented as like, this is, I mean, cause that's not the first catcalling thing I don't know if there's other catcalling things. That's not the first like stereotypical construction worker thing. They've represented, they've shown construction workers as like when Carrie walks across, carrying the cake across the sidewalk, and they're like, hey, yo, there's very much like the stereotypical construction worker
The hot dog cat calls Miranda, right?
Oh, the sandwich guy?
The sandwich, the sandwich cat calls her too.
Yeah.
But this is before those in the episode series.
I just mean since we've watched it before. This is like the first in the series. This is probably the first catcalling thing in the series, definitely.
I think he can't step up to the plate.
Huh?
What's that?
He can't put his money where his mouth is.
This is also the first instance of, I think, any of our characters using some hardcore Italian slang when Miranda goes, "What a gavone." I was like, where did that come from? Isn't Miranda Irish?
Oh my gosh.
I probably talked about this before, but okay. Catcalling, it comes from, at least I probably think it comes from like this evolutionary trait of like, peacocking, or like, you know, you have the birds that are like dancing around, like clicking to like gain attention from a mate, right? But like, certainly catcalling hasn't worked for anyone ever in the last 5,000 years. Like, what is it that is going through the brains of these people that feel like it's necessary to hoot and holler at someone? Like, you'd think it would stop just by the lack of it not producing results.
But go ahead, Kevin.
I think also that it's not necessarily about it producing results. It's just like for guys like that, like they're just like, he's married. He just is like, oof. Like, I feel like the more, this is obviously exaggerated, but I feel like what is more likely to happen every once in a while, like still is just like, oof, wow, you know, and then, And then you kind of want the girl to hear it. So
why?
That she's,
but what's the point of wanting them to hear it? Is it like a power dynamic?
It's a machismo, it's a machismo thing.
Okay.
It's like, I think it's a machismo thing of like, guys saying, I mean, and that's, in that instance, it's about him trying to be funny in front of those friends.
Okay, that makes more sense.
And
because
it's
if
like
you, if
trying
you want...
to be like, hey, check this out. I'm going to give this lady a hard time and like harass her.
Because machismo is once again, this like evolutionary trait of like, I'm the alpha male. You're right. Going to be attracted to me because I can pound my chest the hardest. So it, like, right. It all just is like super confusing to me as to why... Well, it, why it's still, maybe it's just like tied in these creeps like primordial DNA, but I don't
know.
I think
some of it, there's probably definitely when this was shot, like there's definitely a cultural thing of like, they're like, that's what construction workers in New York City do, mm-hmm. you know? And like, I mean, and like not saying it's, you know, not excusing it, but it's like, that is like the stereotypical, like, hey, sweetheart, you know, like that's the kind of guy. It's like an Andrew Dice Clay thing. But dude, I was in
Hickory Dickory Duck.
Yeah. I was in Brooklyn near one of our favorite restaurants, El Viejo Yejo 2.
Favorite restaurants that I've only been to once in my life.
Yeah, John and I've been there once and we love it. I can't wait to go there.
How many pictures do you think we've sent of each other in front of El Viejo Yejo 2?
I mean, at least 10, like from each one of us. Kevin has been in one. Katie's been in one. I mean, it's a great place. But I was in front of there one time and some dude who was like probably like 20 rode up on the sidewalk on a city bike to this girl and just goes, excuse me, miss. Hey, excuse me, miss. And she turned around. And he was just like, I just got to say, you're beautiful. I mean, is there any way I can get to know you and like take you on a date? And then she, it's got really weird because I was like, I was standing beside it and she's turned around and she goes, and like, granted, she had a mask on. So maybe this explains a little bit. She's turned around and she goes, I'm sorry, I'm only 17.
Oh.
And then the guy just goes, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't know that, but you are beautiful. And then she walked away and then he just turns to me and he goes, yo, man, you got to try, though, you know, right? I mean, shoot. And then he just rode off on a bike. And I was like, how did I get roped into any of this? Like, and I talked to a girl afterward that I'm friends with, who's like one of our friends who is, you know, like around our age. And I was like, that was crazy. And she was like, you know, I mean, she goes, look, definitely some like weird stuff going on there. And like, clearly he was trying to be polite in the sense that he was just like, I'm sorry, I didn't realize. And but she said, I mean, that wasn't like a full-on cat call. That was more of a like, I'm trying to stop you. And she was like, I respect a little bit of him trying to shoot his shot right there of just saying like, I think you're beautiful. Do you want to go on a date sometime? Yeah. I think that's clearly differently than a cat call.
100%.
That's just like getting in, like that's just interrupting someone on the sidewalk, you know.
Catcalling to me is all about like,
is that a version of machismo, what I just described?
I'm not sure. I think like for me, catcalling is about, it's a not about like the possibility of a relationship or anything other than just like objectifying someone.
Yeah, it's just,
and
peacocking.
In that case, like, yeah, I don't think there was necessary. I mean, I wasn't there, so I didn't hear the tone or language, but it wasn't like in an objectification just to make the guy feel good. Like, you know, yeah, I think true. People need to continue to meet one another. And like, and I don't think that stopping people from catcalling should also stop someone from like walking up to a stranger at a bar and be like, hey, like, can I buy you a drink? I'd love to have a conversation with you. That's what needs to continue to happen.
Yeah.
But you know, just like the surrounded by your boys or like walking by someone by yourself and just being like, damn that ass. Like there's nothing there other than objectification.
Wait. And the thing you just described, is that guy saying that to one of his boys or is he saying that to a woman he sees on the street?
Like as they're passing a woman on the street or something like that.
I thought he was complimenting his boy on his ass, but he was like, yo, Michael, damn dead ass. You've been doing squats.
You've been hitting them lunges, dog.
Hit those lunges, Michael. Mm. Damn.
Those don't look like boot cut. Those look like the tight jeans.
Michael. Apple bottoms.
What else? What else have we missed? We talked about everything. We talked. We didn't talk.
I got a question about the fart. I don't want to, I know we hammered the fart last time, but the fart brings up a really interesting thing. We did an Instagram poll about
this. Which, of course, is what is in Carrie's diet? Okay.
That's what it is. What's she eating? Roughage? Maybe. No, it brings up a thing where Samantha says men don't like women to be human. Mm. And we put up a poll about that. And 71 of our Instagram followers said true. 29% said false. Mm. They said men don't, it's true. Men don't like women to be human. 29% said false. And then they were like, and then we have a whole thing about thoughts on Carrie's insecurities around not being perfect to Big. Like Big's always had perfect women around him. She wants to feel like she's on the same level. Mm-hmm. But what do you agree with men don't like women to be human? What do you think about that?
And I Samantha's mean, line. I think this is another thing that is not full on, like, some has changed and not everything has changed. Like, guys still, I don't know, there's probably more acceptance for girls to have, like, some, like, hair or fart. Like, Sex and the City is part of that, of being like, listen, like, we're real humans. But when you look, like, girls still have just as much of a desire, more of a desire to get plastic surgery and makeup than ever before. Mm. And that is maybe for themselves, but then also part of that is to, like, look beautiful. Like, there's more of a desire to feel beautiful. There's not, like, a huge mass. There's, like, some girls that show their armpit hair now. Okay. And there's some guys that maybe shave their armpits now, but on the whole, if you go net worldwide, like, there's still most girls that are more interested in shaving their legs than not. And so some of it is, like, I don't know, it's like that bargaining between of, like, a guy has to accept that if a girl doesn't wear makeup, like, that's fine. But girls are still, I mean, buying makeup, and that is part of looking like the most perfect version of a human, or more beautiful than your natural self, right?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the hard part about this question is we get into a lot of things of gender norms across the world, and, like, what is a woman supposed to look like? What is a man supposed to look like? I talked to I'm trying to remember who it was, but I talked to one of our friends recently, and I was asking her, like, she is a very powerful woman, straight woman who dates guys, really good job. And she's, like, talked about, you know, she's, you know, talked about, like, being, like, a strong woman in a male dominated industry. And I was like, have you ever, like, what do you think about, like, shaving your legs? What do you think about, like, growing out your armpit hair? And she was like, I've done it before. And she's like, to be honest, like, I think it's just easier. She's like, I don't know if that makes sense, but it's, like, easier for me to do it. And she was like, and also, like, I kind of like doing it, because, like, I just, like, that's my vibe. I feel like it makes me feel attractive. And so, like, you do get into the gender norms thing, which I don't feel like any of us are, like, an expert to talk about, but
right.
It's interesting, because, like, I think I am probably, like, I'm definitely presupposed to what I find attractive. And also, I think we know a bunch of women, like, in our circles, are like, I think all three of us, you know, have dated, and, like, John, you were married to, like, really funny women. Like, we've dated like really funny women who've, like, probably blasted out a fart one time. and you know, like, there's things where I've, like, had to, like, have reckoned with, like, oh yeah, I don't think I am going to end up with some woman that it's just like, you're the perfect little China doll. Mm-hmm. Like, I think you learn that in relationships, that people are people.
Yeah, I think the bottom
line is,
about
the way the story was told, though. The story was that Big didn't care, and she created a narrative that he cared. Mm-hmm. And I think that is, like, also can be true sometimes, that, like, that it's a bigger deal to her, because she thinks that he thought all the stuff, and it didn't have to do with that. So I think that still sometimes can be the case.
But there has to be some experiences that formed Samantha's worldview too.
Yeah, totally.
And I think like ultimately what it comes down to is if you are doing decisions, whether it's cosmetic or living your life in a way for someone else, you are going to find yourself in positions in which people are putting you or others on a pedestal. Mm-hmm. Like Jean-Paul Sartre, don't make decisions or live your life for anyone else other than yourself. Be authentic. Mm-hmm. How is the other?
That's basically like you're taking care of yourself and therefore you take care of others. To take care of others, you take care of yourself. So you're saying?
Yeah. It's just like if you want to shave your legs, do it. If you don't. But don't shave your legs because someone else is making you feel like you should shave your legs. Like do it for yourself. And like I think your overall life experiences will feel more authentic is my guess.
Mm. They deal with this another time in the show, which is when Jim Gaffigan just like leaves the door open and shits. Mm-hmm. And I think those are like the two different storylines with a similar thing, but the difference is one is just like a careless version of just like, yeah, John, you know, Katie shits, but like if somebody but if somebody is just like, I don't know, it's like good passed down wisdom that it's like, I don't know. Like it's not a bad idea to shut the door and keep a little mystery to like, when you're just like going crazy in the bathroom, just like blowing it up. Mm-hmm. Or when you're just like cute. So like Carrie's just like, oops. It's not just like, she's like blown out a nasty fart and like covering him up in the, and just being like, what? You don't find me sexy anymore?
But I also think
after this
like,
Dutch oven.
I think there's like some,
ovened herself. Really?
Yeah, that's true. And he called her on it.
Big was like, it's going to be worse down there. Yeah, yeah. He was cool with it.
I think there's also what we're not telling our listeners or each other to do is like, don't rip ass on your first date. Like there is a time in which you can reveal these things about yourself.
And, oh, this is my authentic self. I'm Jean-Paul Fart.
Anyway, this is a great episode. I had a lot of fun watching. I actually watched
There's
this
no
episode.
Exit from this stench.
Okay. Existentialism. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice.
I actually watched this episode twice because I watched it before we filmed the episode and I watched it during the episode. So I was, I'm really pleased. I love the rewatch because like, I feel like I can just watch it a couple more times or watch ahead or watch a previous one. So I'm just loving life right now.
Going on in this episode that we didn't even cover probably either time because it's just like a tightly packed episode. It's tightly packed like the freaking fart I'm holding in right now.
Yeah.
Dude.
But thank you so much for joining us. If you haven't already, check out our Patreon. We are putting all of the even episodes on our Patreon. Check us out on Instagram. Leave us a review and 5 Cosmos on iTunes. And send us the message of who would be the person that would cause you to unsubscribe and delete Bradshaw Boys from the pod.
Yeah.
We're curious.
Also, shout out to Beth, Sarah, Rachel, Kaylee, and Caitlin. Those are our 5 newest patrons.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
And Tara. Thank you, everybody. Our Patreon has been doing very well and growing, and we just want you all on there to continue growing it with us. And please,
we're talking merch right now on Patreon. So come join the conversation and discuss what type of cream cheese poppy merch we're gonna come out with.
Heck yeah!
And we're gonna have a very cool. We can't say what it is, but we have in the plans a pretty incredible video element. There's going to be just like this thing that I don't know how we're gonna make it happen, but it's gonna be sick. It's gonna involve driving all around New York City.
Yes, it is. All right.
Yeah.
Later, taters.
Later, taters.
Later, tates.
The Bradshaw Boys stars Corey Cabin, Kevin James Doyle, and John Sieber. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin, and narrated by Katie Sieber. This podcast is part of the Seltzer Kings Network. Check out all their great podcasts at seltzerkings.com. You can find the boys on their socials at The Bradshaw Boys or on their website at thebradshawboys.com. And as always, if you see them in the street, tip your glass. Thanks for listening.